There is that school bell. Don't be late for class. It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is lesson number 43. Now, you need to get your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and then turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll continue with the study we've been making of these prophecies from Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 11 and conclude that study today. Now, while you're getting your Bible ready, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, and the Sunday school lesson that we're going to be looking at today is one that he wrote for the Sunday of May 7th, 1922. And this is the third time we're looking at this particular lesson that has to do with the prophecies in Isaiah. Now, you'll be wanting to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, but as you're doing it, I want to read to you something we read at the last lesson, and then look at something here that I think you'll find very interesting. And here it is. He had said, in commenting on Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, he said this. He said, "Read Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, and see its fulfillment in Jesus in Matthew 12. 18 through 21. Read Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and find its fulfillment in Luke 4, 18 through 20. Well, while we were off the air, I did that, and I found it very interesting in that in these passages, Jesus identifies himself as the Messiah whom Isaiah said would come. Let me show you that. Let's start and do just what he said and turn to Isaiah chapter 42 and let me read verses 1 through 4. Here's how it reads in the American Standard Version. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." That's Isaiah. Let's go to the New Testament. And it says, after reading that, turn to the fulfillment of this in Matthew 12, 18 through 21. I really want to begin in Matthew 12 and verse 15 and show how Jesus identifies himself with that prophecy. Matthew 12 and verse 15, again from the American Standard Version. "And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew thence, and many followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his names shall the Gentiles hope." All right, let's look at the other one. It says here to read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And here we read from the book of Isaiah, the American Standard Version. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. All right, now let's turn to the New Testament. We come to the book of Luke, and in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18. In fact, I think I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 4 and verse 15. And you're going to see that Jesus identifies himself with that prophecy from Isaiah. Here's what Luke wrote. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. So we know what Isaiah is talking about when he's talking about the coming king, and he's talking about the coming kingdom. He is talking about the coming Christ and the coming of his church. Now, we want to go back to Isaiah chapter 11, where we left off. And I'm going to read the text that Elam is going to refer to in his notes here. It's in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. It's a very beautiful passage of Scripture, and one that some might not realize that what he is talking about, but he's going to be talking about the peace that comes to those who come together in Christ in his church. And here's how he describes it. Isaiah 11 and verse 6. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. Let me read to you Elam's notes on page 119 of his Sunday school lessons. And this is from the lesson of May 7th, 1922. Much is said in the New Testament about being at peace, keeping the peace, making peace, pursuing peace, and being ruled by peace. But more, in the kingdom of peace, one is tender and helpless as the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and as the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den and not be hurt. Those who are asp and adders in the world, filled with poison and death, become harmless and helpful in their conversion to Christianity. No advantage will be taken of, no harm will be done to, no fraud will be practiced, upon the babes and weaklings, the humblest and poorest of widows and orphans, the cruel and the bitter tongue of slander will cease. Further still, the prophet predicts universal peace and that the earth shall be under the dominion of Christ, for he says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea." His holy mountain represents the dominion of the Lord. Wherever the knowledge of Jehovah is, there is peace. To know Jehovah is to submit to Him. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9 in verse 6. He is the author of peace. His gospel is the gospel of peace. He enjoins peace and rules in His kingdom of peace. Here we recall to mind the song of the angel on the night of Jesus' birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom He is well pleased. The birth of Jesus rebounds to the glory of God on high, and peace among men on earth. There is a passage in the New Testament that discusses this peace. I'm going to talk to you just a moment about the book of Ephesians. It was actually a letter written to the churches that were in and about Ephesus, as a church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles who had been at enmity with one another. But coming together in Christ, they were at peace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "Wherefore remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that were once afar off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law and commandments contained in ordinances, that He might create Himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And He came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit unto the Father. So then you're no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That household of God is the church of God. It is that holy mountain of Jehovah. And you can take some man, and he may be just like a bear out in this world, and another person that's just like a lion looking for a calf to slay and eat. But these lion men and these bear men can get along with these calf men and women when they come together in Christ. You see, we have to humble ourselves to come to Christ. We realize that what He has done is so great and so wonderful, and we take that focus off of ourselves, and we focus on Him, and we want to be like Him. And the more we come together in Christ, the more we enjoy that peace with one another. This is the kind of peace that should reign and rule in all of our churches, where we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of where we have come from or what we have been. We have been together washed in the blood of the Lamb, and so we are together with God in His holy mountain. Isn't that beautiful? That's all we're going to have time for today. So as the old schoolmaster would say, you may now be dismissed.